echoing up here to me. If you can tell me. If you got your Bible, let's look at Matthew 6. We're going to start in verse 5. No, let's not start in verse 5 for time's sake, because I've got to get somewhere today. Let's just start in verse 9, because all the verses before he's talking about prayer. It says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That means like keep it holy. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, go over to Revelation 4. Verse 6. It says, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. It says, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. Now, let's look at, we'll recap for just a minute. Zach, put up Psalm 150, verse 6. I will just read 1 through 6. It says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the psaltery and harp. Let's look at Psalm 34. Y'all been practicing this week?
Yes, ma'am.
What? I only heard April, yes, ma'am, and then I heard Monty. Y'all been practicing this week? Uh-oh. Are y'all breathing? What did you say last week?
Everything that has breath,
do what?
Praise you, the Lord.
We'll just go and do it then.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you,
Father. See, sometimes I thought about it this morning. I thought, I think I'm going to start doing it. If I hear somebody cuss, I'm just going, glory to God. They're probably going to think, what in the world? I got to give God equal time, Monty.
Right. I
agree. I better open up a door.
Right.
A good one. Right? Let me see your word, Lord. Psalm 34, verse 1. He says, I will bless the Lord when?
All times.
At all times. So that means at all times it is absolutely convenient to bless and praise the Lord. His praise shall what?
Continually.
Continually. That means it's nonstop, right? Be in my mouth. I've heard people say, well, I'm just, you know, not like that. Well, you're supposed to be. Right? He goes on and he says here, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me. That's a good reason to praise him.
Hallelujah.
And delivered me from all my fears. He says, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is bad.
Good.
It's good, right? Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Now I can tell you about an apple. I can hold an apple up here right now. Good, nice. Scotty likes green. I like red, so red apple. I don't like green. They're sour usually. I don't like sour. I'm too sweet for that. Tony, was that you? Are you contradicting what I say? In other words, I don't need any more sourness, Johnny. I need the little sweetness from the red apple. Now back to my point. I'm trying to get me off track here. But I could have an apple up here, a pretty red apple, or whatever kind of apple it is that you like. I could tell you about this apple. I could tell you the kind of apple that it is. I could tell you, you know, about the tree, the apple tree that it come off of and all that stuff. I can tell you what it looks like on the, I could even cut the apple, show you what it looks like on the inside. Let you smell of the apple. But until you take a bite of that apple, you don't really know how that apple tastes. And he says there, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. In other words, the Lord wants us to experience him and his goodness. And all of the verses before was about praising him and blessing him. Reckon that could be one of the ways that we taste of him and see that he's good.
Amen.
Amen. And we praise him because he is good. God is good all the time. Even if we're experiencing bad, God is still good.
Yes.
Now let's look at, I got a whole lot here, Zach said. Give us Psalm 21:13. Let's do these quick, Zach. Some of these are just one sentence. And so we'll just read them from up there if y'all want to. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so will we sing and praise thy power. So we sing and praise what?
His
power. There's nobody got power like God.
Yeah.
Psalm 22:22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. So it's appropriate for us to praise the Lord in here, right?
Right.
Psalm 9:1-2. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. Y'all remember the scriptures that we read last week where Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, and she all of a sudden she got this that he was a prophet, and she began to talk to him about where they worship, you know, and all that stuff, and he tells her, he said, no longer the day's coming when you won't worship the Lord over here or at Jerusalem or over there. He says, well, we worship him how? In spirit and in truth. When he says in spirit and in truth there, what that means is no hypocrisy. I'm not doing it to be seen. I'm not doing it to get anything from God. It's true. It's out of my heart. That's what he says there. I will praise the Lord. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. In other words, everything in me. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Now, in these scriptures, I want y'all to notice as we read them, how much when he's talking about praising or blessing the Lord, thanksgiving is in there too. Rejoicing is in there. Glad or gladness will be in them. How come?
Right.
All of that goes together.
Right.
See, you can't be a strong person of faith without having gladness and rejoicing and thanksgiving.
Right.
Why? Because that's what faith does, right? It sees things already done. It trusts in God even when things are not done, when we don't see them, when we're experiencing bad, right? Faith trusts God. It has confidence in God. Then why would we be sad?
Right. Right.
You can't do both at the same time.
Right.
You've got to do one or the other. That's how come people that walk in unbelief, they're fearful, they're complaining, they're griping. The words out of their mouth is always about how the bad is, how they feel, how their situation is, or all that. And a lot of people, especially that are baby Christians, and that doesn't mean you ain't been saved 20 years. Sometimes you can still be a baby Christian saved 20 years. You know, a sign of maturity is how much focus do you put on you and how much focus do you put on the Lord?
Right.
That's just like babies in the nursery or whatever. Just like that little baby right there. He don't care if he kept Richard and Stacy up all night. Now, he probably didn't, but do you think he cares?
No.
He doesn't care. He cares if he's wet. He cares if he's hungry. He cares if somebody's entertaining him or not. But see, people, when you grow and you develop and you begin to mature, the focus comes off of us. And the focus goes on to the Lord and other people. Right? Let's see here. Psalm 100:1-5, Zach. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So that word joy, we just got through reading one about rejoicing, right? He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with what?
Gladness.
Faith always does. Come before his presence with what?
Thanksgiving.
That's the key. See, if you want to enter into the presence of the Lord, start singing and praising. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. He says, verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Let's look at Psalm 50, verse 23. And all of these are just in the Psalms. I mean, David was one more praise and worshiper. He says, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Notice that. Our praise glorifies God. It says, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show thee salvation of God. Psalm 54, verse 6. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. So it is good for us to praise the Lord, right?
Amen.
Psalm 57, verse 7. My heart is fixed. Now listen, this doesn't just happen. Especially when you got trials and tests and problems and kids and my husband. Scotty didn't say nothing. And a husband and money, no money, and different things. You have to fix your heart to be a praiser and a worshiper. And I'll tell you something, the devil cannot stand that.
Right.
When you're under attack or different things like that, you begin to pray. And we should at all times. I'm trying to do this at home to where anytime I'm trying to make it cross my mind more and all that, and I'll just say, praise the Lord. I'll be saying, glory to God. Why am I doing that? I'm cultivating. When you're cultivating, what do you do when you cultivate something? You go, say you're going to plant something or whatever out there in a garden or something, and they call it new ground. You know what's out there? A bunch of rocks, a bunch of stumps, problems, a bunch of grass, all that kind. You got to go get all that stuff out. So what are you doing? You're cultivating it. Then you take your tiller or whatever you got, and you till it up. You sift the ground. You make it soft. So when our cultivating life of praise, we do it on purpose. I know that I don't praise the Lord enough. And in studying all this and the Lord leading me in all this, I thought, God, I see just how much that I have not been doing this like you say to. No, I've not been doing it continually. I've not been doing it at all times. Now, we all know you can't just keep this continually saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But what he's talking about is an attitude of that, a mindset of that, that you don't stop. Kind of like Smith Wigglesworth said, I don't pray over 15 minutes. And they were surprised, but he said, I never go 15 minutes without praying. Now, do you think he's on his knees every time he does that? I'm sure he's not. He's out talking to people, witnessing to people. He's got places to go and all that. But in his heart and mind, he's continually, every 15 minutes, he makes it a purpose to talk to God. So I thought, well, I'll try my best every 15 minutes or as often as I can to kind of build myself up to it or whatever. I'm going to praise and bless the Lord.
Yeah.
And one thing it does is it keeps you in an awareness of him, that he's with you, that he's right there. And plus, he says he inhabits the praises of his people. I would like his manifested presence with me at all times. Where did I tell y'all go? Oh, yeah, we read that one, didn't we? But you do it on purpose to start out with. And after a while, it becomes kind of like a habit, you know? And it's not that you're habitually doing it, but now you have created a habit of thanksgiving and praise unto the Lord, and that's a good habit.
Right.
It's one we need to have. Let's look at Psalm 103, 1 through 6. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Let's just say that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Glory to God. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. It says, who forgiveth all thy iniquities. That's a good thing to bless the Lord about, ain't it?
Amen.
Who healeth all thy diseases.
Amen.
This is Old Testament. Just think what we got in you.
Amen.
But he says, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. That is some awesome scripture. If you can't think of nothing to bless and praise and be thankful for, there's your one right there. That's what he said he would do, and he's done. We can praise him and thank him for it, right? Let's look at Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Thank you, Lord, for so mercy. I don't know about y'all. I'm saved. But I need mercy every day. Every single day. But notice he says, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. You know, sometimes it's hard to give thanks when you got problems.
Yeah.
And nobody said nothing but Sandy. Thank you, Sandy. I guess they don't got never have no problem except us. Well, that's okay. God's good to us with problems. When you feel bad, sometimes it's hard to be thankful. I know that when weather changes, when it starts getting real cold outside, I'll pray for homeless people. And I'll tell the Lord, I said, thank you, Lord, I have a good warm house. I have a wood heater that goes outside that hooks into your ductwork. So it has been 9 degrees outside, and I've been on the couch eating ice cream like I'm at the Bahamas. So we have to be real careful about the thermostat on there because it can get way too hot. And I'll be sitting there, and I'll say, thank you, Lord, for a good warm house. And I pray for those that don't have a good warm house, that God would help them to find shelter somewhere, or, you know, help them to get warm and keep them. Because sometimes people die out there in the cold, you know, because it does get so cold sometimes. Or there's times, you know, that I'll just say, thank you, Lord, for a good shower. I have never lived anywhere in my life that has water pressure like we do. We blow out water hoses if you don't leave them, the nozzle on them opened up. I'm serious. Every water hose we have ever bought, if you don't open that nozzle, you know, you twist that little nozzle on, spray nozzle, whatever. If you don't leave that open all the time, right down there where that little metal piece is, it puts a split right there every single time. I get in my shower, that water will beat the dirt off of you. We go to the motel or something other, and I'm like, good grief, how am I ever going to get the shampoo out of my hair? And so, I mean, just sometimes I'll say, thank you, Lord, for good water pressure. Yeah. Everybody doesn't have that. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, we have something to eat. Everybody doesn't have that. Yeah. And see, what am I doing when I do this? I'm creating, on purpose, I'm creating a thankful heart. Do you realize thankfulness is a key to more?
Yes.
You ever give somebody something and they acted like you owed it to them?
No.
Did that bless you?
No.
Did you want to give them something else right quick? Kelly, both y'all are more like me than y'all thought. Don't you imagine God's probably the same way?
Right.
Yeah. A key to get more is being thankful for what you got. It's kind of like Scotty. I remember when we got saved, he had this old Chevrolet truck. And if I'm not mistaken, in the drive shaft or something come out of a car, and it was a two-tone, and it had no fenders, just holes. I'm talking about every fender was just slap eat out. All that was left was a little around the edge that was holding it together. So you can imagine what it looked like. No air conditioning. He was going to the jail, so he would be sweating by the time he got left church and got to the jail, and then went left there and went to the other jail. He's just soaking wet. I mean, the man thinks, and he gets sweaty anyway, you know. So you can imagine 80, 90, close to 100 degrees out there, and there's no air conditioning. And then by the time he got to the jail, all his windows is down, so his hair is just all over the place. So anyway, he is praying, and he's asking God for a better, nicer vehicle. I mean, it run good, but you know, he wanted a better, nicer one. And he was praying and asking God for that. And you know what God told him? He said, you don't take care of the one you got. Because you opened the door, there's dust on the dash about that thick. There's garbage, McDonald's everywhere. Y'all ain't saying nothing. See, if you don't take care of and be thankful where you are and what you have, you're probably not going to get a whole lot more.
Right.
So he heard the word of the Lord, and I mean, he went and got him some wax. He washed that truck, and he filled in the holes of that truck with wax. That's how good he started taking care of it. And sure enough, before long story short, it's miraculous how God moved and how he got another one from the bank and all of that. But sure enough, before long, he had another one. I mean, it wasn't nothing fancy, but it was a newer bottle. It had air conditioner, hallelujah. I don't know about y'all, but I'm fat and I don't like to sweat.
Right.
So you have to be thankful where you are and what you have.
Right.
Oh, yeah. 106. Let's look at 107, verse 8, and then verse 15. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord, why? For his goodness. And for his wonderful works to the children of men. God is so good to his children. All the time. Whether you think you're seeing good. You know, a lot of times, especially younger Christians or whatever, I have before. I try not to do that anymore. You know, you start going through something and you start saying, God, where are you? Well, he's the same place he's always been.
Right.
But what it may be that God is saying, okay, grow a little more. Don't need to have to feel my presence all the time to know that I'm with you. Use my word. What did I say in my word? I said I would never leave you. I would never forsake you. I would be with you always, even unto the end, right? That his word's all the evidence we need. Then it should be, right? If we're going to walk and live by faith and grow up a little more. But I remember those times that when I didn't feel the presence of God, I would be, especially in trials, I'd be like, God, where are you? God, don't you see? God, don't you hear? Sure he does. It's kind of like when you've got a little kid or whatever and you've set him over there and you move over here and you say, come on. Come on. Every one of us, I'm sure, has done that. Why? You're trying to get your baby to grow up a little bit more. It's time for them to start putting effort to walk and to grow and to develop. Why? I don't want to be talking around a 150-pound baby that's 30 years old. God doesn't either. Let's see where we at. Verse 15 now. It says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. That's the second time in the same chapter. And for his wonderful works to the children of men. It actually goes on, I didn't write it down. In that same chapter, four times it says that at same verse. Psalm 113, 1 through 9. He says, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. So we don't just praise him because he's good. We don't just praise him for his wonderful works. He says praise him for his name, right? The name that is above every name, right? The name of Jesus that everything has to bow.
Right.
Yeah. He says praise him for his name. He says, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun and to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Glory to God. Psalm 145, 1. I don't know how far I want to go with this one, either that. I didn't put a stopping place on it for some reason. He says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. So there's never a time that we stop blessing his name, right? It says, every day will I bless thee. Every day. And I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Now notice that. We pray. That's a good. Notice that. He says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. So we praise God because he's worthy. Right? There's nobody or nothing else on this earth more worthy than praise and worship and adoration than God himself.
Right.
Let's look at 147, 1 through 5. It says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. But notice that. He says we sing praise. He says he tells the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. God is absolutely awesome. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Psalm 148. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Y'all realize the sun and the moon's praising the Lord. That's what he says. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Go ahead. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, you dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. Beast and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth. Both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise you, the Lord. You know, I thought about it last night. While I'm talking, you can go to, 139, I think. But anyway, I was thinking about it last night, and I thought, when I leave here, I have seen the last sunset and sunrise I will ever see. Why? Because in the book of Revelation, the Bible says there's no need for the sun there. Because God is the light. We'll never sleep. We don't need it. We don't need to sleep. There's no darkness there ever. Why? Because there's no darkness in God. Therefore, he is the light. So it's going to be bright all the time. We might need to take our shades. Now, 149. It says, praise you, the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. You know, you got to be humble to do that. There's a lot of them out there, they call themselves self-made people, self-made millionaires, you know, and that Darwinism, you know, something kind of like, you know, we come from planet somewhere, you know, a rock, a meteor that landed in the goo, you know, and we was, an amoeba or something that growed a tail, and we walked up on the land, lost our tail, and said, I'm a man. I mean, that's about how much junk that stuff is. That's just outright pride. There's, if that was the case, if that's how we got here, how come they ain't still getting here that way? I mean, that don't make no sense. But humility will praise the Lord, but pride won't. It says, praise you, the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful. Notice that joy again. In their king. God is our king, right?
Yeah.
It says, let them, Jesus, let them praise his name in the dance. We need some dancing going on in here.
Yeah.
Y'all want me to just pick somebody? Really, we need some dancing going on in here. If the Bible says that's the way that we praise the Lord, then we should praise the Lord. Now, I'm not saying get up here and just break it all out. I'm sure Johnny could do a little jig right there in between his two pews or any of the rest of us. You know, if you're really praising the Lord, I don't really see no reason why you need to come up here in the front and just hog up the whole stage. I mean, unless you want somebody to see you. I mean, David praised the Lord, didn't he? The Bible says David praised the Lord so much his outer garments fell off.
That's right.
And that his wife, she got mad about all of that.
Yes.
Your praise sometimes makes some people mad.
Yeah.
And some people say, well, it don't take all that. Well, maybe it don't. But God likes all of that.
Right.
And it makes me feel good. It'll make you feel good if you do some of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. See, praise and worship is not just for us, it's for God too. We're going to look at some scriptures for that in just a minute. It says, let them praise him, his name, in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek.
Praising the Lord makes you look good. I'm serious. Should it make you look better? Sin makes you look bad. Age you way before your time.
It says, will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful. Notice that again. In glory, let them sing aloud upon their beds. So at night when you go to bed, what do you do?
Glory.
Thank you, Jesus. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. So what's that mean? You got a sword in one hand and you're praising the Lord in the other hand. You can't lose.
Right.
I'm not just talking about the natural. The Bible talks about it in Ephesians 6 and taking the sword of the Spirit, right? Let's look at, so what was that, 149? Let's do 150, 1 through 6. Praise you, the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath do what?
Praise the Lord.
In case we didn't get it, he said, praise you the Lord again. Reckon he's trying to say something. Now, let's see here. Go back to Psalm 34, I think. Right quick. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Notice this. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Now, we pretty much probably all in here know what a magnifying glass does. It makes things bigger, right? Does God need you to make, can you make God bigger? No. God's as big as he's going to get and everything else is smaller. Right? But do you realize he can become bigger to me and you? Absolutely. All we got to do is magnify. But a lot of times what Christians do, they don't magnify the Lord. They magnify their problem. They magnify how they feel. They magnify how they're being treated. They magnify what's not being done for them. They magnify that it looks like God's not coming through. Listen, hey, God is always faithful. One of his names is faithful and true. But usually things don't happen when we want it. It's usually much later. Kenneth Hagin said one time, you know, somebody asked him, well, how long you got to stand and believe God? Long as it takes. But usually if you start out willing to stand as long as it takes, it could lessen your time a little bit. But notice that he says, magnify the Lord. The Bible says in the New Testament, I believe it's Hebrews 12, that it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Another scripture says that he that has begun a good work in us, he will perform it. In other words, he's faithful to do it if I don't quit. Just me keep giving him something to work with. Keep giving him something to work with. Whether it's big or it's small. I mean, I determine my growth, you know. I can grow faster or slower. But I mean, he's always right there providing as much as what I need. But I got to look unto him. Why does he say looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? If you're looking at him, you can't be looking at nothing and nobody else.
Right.
You can't, you're not looking at people. You're not looking at what you don't have. You're not looking at what's being done to you. You're not looking at what looks like is being taken away from you. Right? You're looking at him. And any time that we're in faith looking at him, we're going to have joy.
Right.
That is a major indication of faith. Every time. We're going to have joy. We're going to have peace. Trouble, jerking, antidepressant, nerve pills, that's not peace. You got a problem there. And I guarantee you, probably, I would say 98% that has depression and things like that. Now, I'm not talking about a medical condition that can cause some of that. Sometimes chemical imbalances. I'm talking about without a medical thing like that going on. It's nothing more than what you keep your mind on in your mouth on most of the time. And the Bible says, by the words of our mouth, we can be snared. And we can be blessed or we can be cursed. And in case we didn't get it, God said, choose this day, blessing or cursing. And then he went on and said what?
Choose life.
Choose life. Choose blessing. Right? Because sometimes we ain't too smart without him. I know I'm not. Where we at? Oh yeah, Psalm 34. Magnify the Lord. Make him bigger. How do I do that? Think about him. See, a lot of times Christians, I don't know why we think, you know, everything, we get born again, and it's going to be kind of like a rose garden, and it's just going to be so good. That if I really love God, I don't have to keep my mind on God. My mind will just automatically stay there. No, world scripture tells you that. First imaginations. God never promised us a rose garden. But he did promise he would always be with us, never leave us, never forsake us. Right? He did say he always causes us to triumph through our Lord Jesus Christ. He says he always causes us to have the victory. Right? He says we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Right? Then that's what my focus has to be on. That's what my end result has to be. So anytime that something is in the ring with me, so to speak, is boxing terms or whatever, I can whoop it. May not feel like I can whoop it. May not look like I can whoop it. Y'all remember the story of David and Goliath, right? They wasn't a person out of that whole army, including the king. He's out there talking about their mama and everything else. Calling them out their name, we would say today. I mean, nowadays, you don't say, mama. What'd you say about my mama? And the next thing is a pop in your mouth. But he's out there saying all kinds of stuff. And then here comes this little guy out there, and he cannot believe what's happening. I'm paraphrasing. I can't believe it. How long y'all gonna let him do that? Why don't somebody stop him? Why don't somebody do something about this? They can't. They're all paralyzed with fear. Trusting in themselves. David says, okay, I need a little incentive in the natural here. He said, what are you going to give somebody to take him out? Y'all remember reading the story, right? No taxes for the man and his family for life. Woo, there's one. No taxes, tax time's coming up for me. I'm about to have to pay some. No taxes, you better let them take him out. All right, what else we get? Well, you get the king's daughter. You know, some other stuff or whatever. He says, I'll do it without that, but you know, it's good to get it. What does he go up there? He's not looking at Goliath, Sandy. He can't be. I mean, they say something like 9-10 feet tall, maybe taller. There was real giants in those days. And you're talking about a young guy. Probably ain't even got a muscle. I mean, seriously. Probably ain't even got a muscle yet. And he goes out there. Now you got to remember who he is and what he's been doing. See, they don't go out there and just stay with the sheep a couple hours at night. They live out there with them to a certain degree for a point in time till daddy sends somebody else. And according to the Bible, he's out there and he's praising the Lord. He's worshiping the Lord. He's magnifying the Lord. He's keeping his mind on the Lord. It's continually coming out of his mouth. So then what happens? Here comes a lion, jumps out. Well, he's not thinking, well, I got to go call daddy, you know, or somebody to come and help me. No, he's been out there with the Lord. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Right. Not my might.
Right.
I'm not going to get very far. But the power of his might. Well, praising and worshiping the Lord continually will help you to be strong in his power and his might because you're looking at how mighty and how great and how powerful he is. You don't got to stir yourself up. Sometimes you ain't got time to stir yourself up. Sometimes things happen just like this. But David went out there and what did he say? You come at me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. And remember what his focus was on because he asked him. He says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? What that means is, who is this guy out here talking about our mama and he ain't got no covenant with God?
Amen.
Y'all know the story. took his little slingshot and his rock, and I think the Holy Ghost just guided it right there into his forehead. The only place that he wasn't armored up. And then he runs over there and he takes his own sword out. He must have had a little bit of muscle because it was pretty big. So he must have had a little bit. You know, and cut his head off.
Right.
And then everybody rejoiced when any one of them could have done that.
Yep.
Any one of them. That was the children of Israel. They had a covenant with God.
Yep.
But there was only one that would do it. Because he hadn't been looking at his problems. He hadn't been looking at how he felt. That's just like what I'm going through now. I don't like for people to ask me, how am I?
Amen.
I know they do it because they're here. I've done it myself with people, you know. How are you today? You know, whatever. Why? Because now that's resetting my focus.
Right.
I got to, because I know, and you're not wanting me to say, you know, when I'm so drunk, I can't hardly walk, you know, and they say, I'm fine, praise the Lord. Glory to God, I'm good. That would be a good confession, but that ain't what you're looking for when you ask me that. Or when somebody asked you that. That's not what they're looking for. So therefore, I don't like for people to keep asking me that. Why? Because that keeps taking my focus back to how I feel. And I can't go by how I feel. I can't go by how I look. That's why I told y'all, don't look at me. Don't look at me the way that you see me in the natural. Because in here, I'm not that way. That's why I said a while ago, anything that gets in the ring with me or you, we have the power and authority to whoop it. Now, there has been times in my life that I'm telling you, my nose is bleeding. I can't see out both my eyes, so to speak. Bringing it to the natural here. My mouth is busted. And if those times ever come, you're going to have to look up and smile through the pain and the blood.
Amen.
And say, praise the Lord, I'm winning. Praise the Lord, I've got the victory. Why? He said, I have the victory. I'm not trying to get the victory. He already won the victory. I'm just enforcing the victory and defeat that Jesus already did. But if it's in the ring with you, if it's your problem, you can overcome it. You can defeat it. You can cast it out. Scotty was aggravating me yesterday, and I told him, I said, listen, I'm about to cast you out. He said, I'll go down there and tell your mama. I said, go down there. My mama cast you out, too. I said, so just go ahead. You're trying to start some strife with me. And I don't like that. Needless to say, when he heard my mama cast it out, he stopped. But why do I say that? Because God's already said that about us. We're not victims. Circumstances and problems and things come in our life that may make us look like victims at the time or might make us feel like victims at the time, but we're never a victim. As long as we'll stand on the victory. Now, I've got to just a couple minutes left, and I got to show you this. Psalm 69, verse 30. For some reason, I got off on that a little too long. That wasn't even my message.
Oh,
there's nothing worse than a weak Christian and a sad Christian. You ain't got nothing to be sad about. Nothing. If you die, it's gain. So go ahead and kill me if you think you can. Really? 69 verse 30. I need to get over there, I guess. It says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with what?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is a way that you magnify the Lord. Not thinking about your troubles or your problems. Look at Psalm 107, verse 22. It says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Now, I've heard people say this before. I don't feel like it, so I'm just going to give the Lord a sacrifice of praise. That's not what that says. Flesh has made that up.
Yeah.
This word sacrifice, what he's talking about here, is like sacrificing an ox, a bull, some kind of offering or something like that. Now, go to Jeremiah 33. And I'll show you. Verse 11. It says, and it shall be to me a name of joy and praise and honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble before all the goodness and for all prosperity I procure unto it. I must have wrote that down wrong. Anyway. We don't have to have that one. Look at Revelation 5. Because I'm going to have to stop. Now, we started this by Jesus teaching us to pray. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? And we've seen just from the four beasts there around the throne that there's praise and worship going on 24/7. If there was a 24/7, there's not there. I mean, time is nothing there. God created it for us. But look here in verse 5, just for time's sake. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors. Notice this, odors, which are the prayers of saints. Now notice that. He says there, see, a lot of times when we think about prayer or talk about prayer, all we think about is petition. No, there's many different types of prayer according to Scripture. There's supplications, there's prayers of thanksgiving. And notice what he says. So in other words, our praise, just like this, when he said, whenever we pray, do what? Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. What are we supposed to be doing? We praise and we worship the Lord in with our prayers. Sometimes it's hard for me to tell where a prayer petition and another one starts, because during the whole thing, I'm praising God, I'm worshiping God, I'm reminding him of his word and all this stuff, and giving him thanks for the answer that is on its way and all this other stuff, and thanking. But notice what? It's a smell to God. Our praise and worship has an odor to God. It's a very good fragrance. He likes it. But his prayers of praise and thanksgiving. You notice he says there, in golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. So they're in heaven. He goes on and says, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book. We worship the Lord because he's worthy. And to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and has redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and this goes on talking about the angels and all this other stuff. I've got to stop because actually I'm a few minutes over time. But I want to encourage you this morning, and I know God is saying it because I don't. I do my best to endeavor to be led by what I say up here, because me getting up here and just saying anything I want to, that don't do nothing. There's no anointing for that or anything else. And I truly believe God is saying this to us, and it's not only for us. Praise and worship and thanksgiving blesses the Lord. Who would not want to bless the Lord after he has been so good to you?
Amen.
After he's been so good to me and did so much. Does anybody have anything they would like to share before we close?
Amen.